Thank you, Jesus. Father God, Lord, we greet your word this morning. We thank you so much once again that we are bathing in your presence. We are adoring your holy name. We are blessing and receiving your holy written word to us today. Father, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, let every heart and life be touched today. Let our minds be transformed, Father, by their renewal. Let our hearts be soft once again. May our lives be full of love. We thank you so much, Heavenly Father. And all God's people said, amen and amen and amen. Praise God Almighty. Aren't the band doing wonderfully, guys? Praise Jesus. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Glory to God. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, we're going to start at the very, very beginning today. And I hope that your spirit will be ready to receive what we're going to talk about today. There's certain things that when I hear God say that he wants to touch on them, it's like, wow, yes, God, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in Wembley, just as it is in heaven. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise God Almighty. If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. And we are going to read from the first verse. But before we do, I want us to understand something about the nature of our God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8 that God is love. And then it says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16 that God is love. And one of the difficulties that we have as a body of believers is that we mainly haven't been raised in love. There's not enough love in our families to shape us and to conform us so that then when we hear the voice of love that we respond adequately to it, right? How many of you had it tough growing up? If you had it tough growing up, just put up your hand right there. Right. You see, the thing about love, when God's love comes into your life, it's almost foreign to us. I remember the first time I encountered the love of God was the night I got saved. And that was the thing that changed me. All the love that I had ever experienced in my entire life manifested in the form of a human being. And that's what changed me. Words would never have changed me. Even, you know, sometimes, quote, signs and wonders, if they're not genuine, they won't convince anybody. That's why I love genuine signs and wonders. I thank God for those of you who are going for signs and wonders, like we preached last week. I love that when people step out, there's something wonderful about it. When people step out into the miraculous and step out on a limb and go for signs and wonders. I just love it. May your testimony continue in Jesus' mighty name. So anyway, this love thing, we have to renew our mind. The Bible talks about us being transformed, literally changed into another image by the renewing of our mind. And God put those things in Scripture. He puts 1 John 4, verse number 8, and 1 John 4, verse number 16, in the Bible because we need to be transformed as to who God is. If we know who God is, then we'll know who we are. Do you remember Peter and Jesus? Jesus is saying, who do men say that I am? You remember that? Who do men say that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you are Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And Jesus said, well, you know, you, who do you say that I am? Peter speaks up. He says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, you see, up until that time, right, we know Peter as Peter, right? If anyone mentions Peter, you see, but his name was originally Simon. Now, Simon means reed, one that blows in the wind, right? So literally, this isn't Jesus and Peter talking. This is Jesus and Simon talking, right? But this is what happens. Jesus is saying, who do men say that I am, right? He said, oh, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some one of the prophets, right? But Jesus then says, who do men say that I am? Simon, says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? Jesus responds, you are Peter. Up until that time, you see, he was Simon. Do you get it?
Yes.
I know it's early Sunday morning, etc., but you must understand this thing. Because until you know who Jesus is, you'll never discover who you are. You'll never know what's in you. I didn't know what was in me until I knew who Jesus was. And there's also, you see, there's another thing. I want to take it a step further. The Lord said to me once, he said, the place of realization is the place of transformation. There's certain things that you can believe about Jesus, right? Everyone believes that Jesus is Lord. Anyone who's a Christian, right? Everyone believes that Jesus is the Savior.
Right.
Right. But there's a place, you see, when you step over from believing into knowing, right, there's something in the middle called realizing. Right? You can believe things. Jesus is my Savior. He who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Right? You can believe that. But until you realize it, you'll never know it. Does that make sense? Let me take it one stage further. Right. I know that Jesus looks after me, that Jesus has got my back. So I don't mind flying Africa World Airlines. How many of you, you've been to some, oh my goodness. Some flying coffin airlines. No, not necessarily AWA. That's a decent, it's okay airline or Starbo. Or what was that one we took to the Masai Mara in Kenya? Oh my goodness. That thing is an 8-seat aeroplane, right? 8 seats. So the pilot, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Do you remember that? The pilot gets into the plane and he says, good morning. Now that's a good start to the flight. How many of you know, I wanted to get off like right there. You understand? No, but somehow God's got my back. We're flying over the hills because you have to fly west to go into the Mara lands where we were preaching to the Maasai people. And you have to fly over. There's like a mountain range, Western Kenya. And as you hit over that thing, the airplane goes backwards because the wind coming up the mountain, you've been on it too. The wind coming up them, they come up the hills, whoosh, the Rift Valley. As you fly over the Rift Valley, the hot air rises over the thing. And as you're going forward, the aeroplane, it's like it's on a string. You had an aeroplane on a string when you were a child? And it's like, whoosh, and then whoosh, like that. So, whoa! I mean, you see, but I knew.
Yes.
Do you understand?
Yes.
Because I reached a point of realization at some point that God had my back. Situations I've been in where, Lord have mercy, if the Lord hadn't had my back,
yes,
I'd have been dead, I'd have been jailed, I'd have been who knows where, right? But God had my back, and I've realized that. Do you remember Paul the Apostle, he put it this way, he says, I know in whom I have believed, right? Okay, here's another thing. Many of us believe that Jesus is our healer. But here's one thing, right? There was a place of realization that I came to where I crossed from belief into knowing. I realized that Jesus is my healer. Sometimes, you know, when symptoms try to attack us, then we try, oh God, by his stripes I'm healed, hallelujah, holy water, oil, like hands here, hands there, do you see what I mean? And we'll go here, there, and everywhere, right? But there's a place that you can reach. And it's the place of realization that is the place of transformation. I realized that Jesus is my healer. He bore my griefs. He carried my sorrows. Some of you, you've been through periods of sickness where your life has been, it's been a terminal issue. Your life has been threatened. And then when you come out the other side and you realize the hand of God was on you. Although, is that you there? Is that you this morning? Are you here this morning? Just clap for the Lord if that was your testimony. Certain situations, you know, the death of a loved one, you don't know how you're going to get through it. And it's like, Lord, you are my rock. You pull out all those rock psalms. Thank God for the rock music industry. Hallelujah. The rock psalms. Lord, you are my rock. My feet are planted on the rock. You've taken me from the miry clay. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And it's like Psalm 91. And then Ebola comes at you. It's like Psalm 107. Then it's like Psalm 139. You knew me. You formed me. Hallelujah, Jesus. Help me, God. And then when you look back over the thing, you realize there's an assurance on the inside of you. Wow, you know what? The Lord was with us all the time. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see, the place, turn to your neighbor and tell him, the place of realization is the place of transformation. Now, I've said that as an intro to say this, right? If we read Genesis 1:1 in the light of what the Bible says of whom God is love, then we can read Genesis 1:1 this way. Stick it up on the board there, please, guys. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, love created the heavens and the earth. Now, really and truly, you'd need to meditate on that for weeks, for that to drop into your spirit the way that God wants it for you to drop into your spirit. When I had this chat with the Lord about that particular revelation, and he took me through chapter and verse, line upon line, I had to see God firstly as love. My image of God had to change, right? When I ask most people to close their eyes and imagine God, the first thing they imagine is a white guy. Am I telling the truth? Quilly, quilly. Quilly, quilly. It's the truth. And number two, that God speaks English. And number three, that he's an old white guy. And the Lord had to wreck my imaginings of God in that way first. You know how he did it? He said, imagine me as a Jamaican. 30-year-old Jamaican. With cornrows and locks and a big gold tooth. And on the front of my throne is a sign saying BMW. You guys aren't ready for this at all. You see, what was he doing? He was destroying my... He had to. God has to break. If I say a particular word, if I say yellow dog, right, you might think sticky. Right, but those of you who don't know Sticky, then you won't know what he's imagining. Do you see what I mean? And this is part of the problem with the communication of language, because we've had it drummed into us by history, by a culture, that somehow God is an old white guy with a beard and clouds flowing and all that kind of thing, right? Well, suppose you get to heaven and he's a baby sitting on the throne. What would you do? You collapse. Are you catching this? Right, let me say it again then. In the beginning, love created the heavens and the earth. Love created the heavens and the earth. Not some old white guy on a throne. In the beginning, love created the heavens and the earth. So this thing, planet Earth, as you see this globe going round, it is one humongous love experiment. Love creating the heavens and the earth. And you know what he showed me? He showed me the earth from heaven's perspective. Now, the first heavens, not the second or third, right? The second heavens is the spiritual realm. The third heavens is heaven itself. From the first heavens, he showed me love, and he showed me the planet going around. You know that scripture that says his mercies are what? New every morning. Right. Well, because the earth is round, his mercies have never left this planet. His mercies follow the sunrise. So whichever part of planet Earth is facing the sun, his mercies are there. They are new every morning. Oh, may you catch that. You're going to have to Just buy the CD or the DVD or download the podcast or something and let this thing play in you for weeks, because the place of realization will become the place of transformation. Until you know who God is, you won't know who you are. Because the Bible says this, it says this. I hope you catch this. I hope you catch this thing. Because it says that as he is, so are we in the world. We are literally love to the world. Anything in us, therefore, that doesn't reflect the love of God really doesn't. We're not reflecting God. We're joking. We're playing. His mercies are new. You ever see a man of God who is approved by God? And what do you see flowing out of him? Love. You ever see a woman of God flowing in the compassion of the miraculous? That's one of the things I love about Sister Marla's testimony. Is you can't get there without compassion. You can't get there without a life that is devoted to prayer for others. Can you imagine being God? And you hear all these prayers from millions, and 99.96% of them is all about me. Jesus, I want. Oh, Lord, will you do this? Ah, will you help my mother-in-law? Ah, will you... Jesus, do you see what I mean? We've got to bust out. Can I bust your image of God even more? Would you like that? Okay, I need... Let me see. Who looks like God? Now, I'm all confused. Yeah, come here, Jason. Come here. Got your seat. God supports Millwall. It's because of the lion's roar. You see what I mean? That's all we're going to say about that. It's a lie and a joke. Here, stand on that step there, the first step. Right. This is what I saw concerning Eden. We were in Miami, Florida a few weeks ago for the CAP conference over there with Apostle Maldonado. And the Sunday morning, you see, I don't do well in conferences. I kind of like, I jump and I get jittery. Half an hour into sitting down, I'm nudging someone, or I'm pulling their hair, or I'm stealing their shoe and throwing it a few rows back. And I just get kind of ADHD. Anyone that way? ADHD? Ronke is my sister in the Lord. Prophet Kathy, can I let you into a secret? Prophet Kathy Lechner is that way as well. She is complete. We just mess. And so we spend, exactly, my wife has to separate us whenever we're at, because like all we'll do is just mess with each other, send each other texts and stuff like that, you know? And anyway, so I'm at this conference Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's like, oh, goodness me, it's like doing a marathon, you know? Give me 5 jihadis any day rather than that. And I wake up Sunday morning, and as I sat up, I woke up in the spirit. Now, those of you, you've been in the spirit before, you know what I mean when I say I woke up in the spirit. Literally, the Holy Spirit was there on my bed, and I woke up and sat up into his presence. So I'm half in a dream state, I'm half in a natural state. And the Lord took me to Eden when God created Adam, right? And the Bible says that the Lord formed man from the dust of the earth, right? So I'll pretend for a second that he has formed me, and that literally now, the Bible says that the Lord breathed the breath of life into where? Into his nostrils. Now that's interesting, because we've only recently discovered that the olfactory nervous system in the nose is the only part of the nervous system that replenishes itself all the way through until you die. So did you see that guy who had suffered the paralysis as a result of a fight, and they took stem cells from his nostrils and they stuck them in his back, and the nerves grew back, and he can walk again as a result? Did you see that on the news? Yes. If you missed that on the news, it means you don't watch the news, or else you're watching too much EastEnders, Hollyoaks, Emmerdale. Is Emmerdale still going? Yes. Jesus help. How do you know? I ban you from those things in Jesus' name. Okay. So God breathes the breath of life into the nostrils of this man that he calls Adam, right? So the first thing that Adam sees, when Adam wakes up, the first thing he sees is God. Isn't that amazing? The first words he hears are God's words. The Bible says, what did God do? The Bible says, and he blessed him. So the first words that man ever heard were what? Words of blessing. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Now, this is what I saw in my spirit. I saw God taking Adam. Now, Adam was created as a man, right? Now, that answers the question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? The answer is the chicken. Okay, you're there. Great. Just checking you hadn't left the garden. Okay. So God then, now this is where I saw it in my dream. This isn't in the Bible, but you can see where I'm going from it. God then takes Adam on a journey, right? Adam, as he's created, he's in the body of a man, but on the inside, he's a child. And the way the Lord showed it to me, you know that all those faculties, it's like, wow. You know when a baby discovers his toes in the cot? You can see it in the cot. It's like, ooh, toes. And he grabs them and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then, like, he goes through this voyage of discovery. It's like, wow, I can walk. I can toddle. I can affect things with my hands. I can see. I can hear. All this thing is going on in Adam. Even though he's a man, on the inside of him, he's a toddler and a child, right? So God takes him on this journey, and he brings him around the garden. And the Bible says that the Lord showed him all the animals so that he could name the animals. You remember that? I hope you're reading your Bible and not watching Hollyoaks, etc. Right. And so he's on this journey, and he calls these animals by names, right? The names that Adam gives these animals are names that the animals will come to him. So he's not calling it a dog, he's calling it... Do you get me? He sees a cat, and he goes... Psh, 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 and the cat will come to him. Do you see what I mean? All those things that even now, even cattle farmers, you know, if you're a cattle farmer, you use certain words, and your cows will come to you. Any farmers in here, or you grew up on a farm, you know what I'm telling is the truth? It's a common thing, right? And sheep, and likewise, and all that kind of thing, right? So he goes through this process with Adam, and he is in this journey. And he goes through the garden, he names all the animals, and then God looks at Adam, right? Adam looks at God, and God says, what are you going to call me? And I heard Adam say, Abba. Isn't that amazing? Loving, literally it means loving father. It's like we don't have some language, you have the name Baba. I know in Farsi is Baba. In a lot of African dialects, in Swahili is Baba, is daddy. It's like, but it means more than that. It's like loving daddy. It's the essence of, you know, he can see himself. The Bible calls Adam the son of God. When you're reading the genealogy, you know the chapter and verse through the genealogy of Adam. And it says, you know, the son of so-and-so, the son of such-and-such, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God, right? And you see, Adam sees himself. You ever be loved by somebody that you can see your reflection in them, and the fact that this person really loves you, and it's like, wow. Do you see what I mean? It's like, gosh, you know, there's more than something, that there's more than just straight two-dimensional love. There is there's a reflection in them. Are you understanding what I mean? How many husbands and wives, you know that you've reached that level where there's a reflection? Put your hand up, my love. Oh. So there's this reflection. You're gazing into one another's eyes, and it's like, wow. Right? Thank you. So can you clap for God this morning? Now that isn't God, right? That's Jason. Okay. Right. So this is all happening as I am in the spirit. And then God showed me something. I'm still on this theme now. The place of realization is the place of transformation. Right. Now, for part two of my demonstration this morning, I need three big dudes and a small dude. So let me take Junior. Where is Joel here? Oh, he's outside. Okay. Yeah, Junior, Yemi, and Tommy. Is Happy Tommy here? Happy Tommy. Come on, man. Zacchaeus. Great. Happy Tommy's our goalkeeper for Harvest FC, and nothing gets past him. Right. I want the three of you to stand here. One here, one here, one here. I need to get this into your spirit seriously this morning. Seriously this morning. Now, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, 27, 28, the Bible says that God said, let us make man. Do you remember that? Okay. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle of the earth, every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And then the Bible says, and God created man in the image of God. He created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, at that point of creation, the female was inside the male. That's why in God, male and female are equal. You've got to batter that. If you come from a culture where a man is worth two women, you have to destroy that thing in your mind. You remember what I was talking about, destroying images of things? That thing, you've got to destroy that thing. Because the woman was inside the man. Male and female, he created them. Whoosh. See, this is what people who have a difficulty understanding the Trinity, they don't even understand themselves. Because when God created man, male and female was in the man. Because the Bible says later on that God put a deep sleep in the man and he pulled woman from the man. Yes. Isn't that amazing? This is very powerful. There's some truths in here that we really, really need for our lives, for success, particularly success in marriage. And actually what I'll show you now, it's going to show you how to succeed in life as well. Some of you, particularly men who've been struggling, it's like this could be one of the reasons why. Okay, now I need a small man. Who's Roger. Where is Roger? Where are you, Roger? Hey, there we go. Come on, man. A few more days down the gym, you'll get there. God bless you. So he's very big on the inside. Right. Now, here's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15. This is one thing that we have failed to understand in the body of Christ. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. I want to show you something here. Very, very powerful. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. Right. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. Now, I've heard many times, it's been taught in Bible colleges, in seminaries, in training centers, ministry. In fact, one of the biggest movements right now on planet Earth in the body of Christ, they teach their people this. God gave the man a ministry before he gave him the wife. So your ministry must become before your wife. Now, I have a real problem with that. I have a real problem with that. Because Peter, later on, contradicts what they say. But we'll get into that if time permits. Right. So here now, we have Adam. Right. Verse number 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep him. God's original intention, according to what we've just read, is dominion, rule, and authority. Right?
Yes.
Dominion, rule, and authority. Right? These are God's original purposes and intentions for man. Because the Bible says, and he blessed them, and he said, be fruitful and multiply, take dominion, subdue the earth, and have rule over it. That's dominion, authority, and rule. Dominion, rule, authority. Right? Okay. Now, we're going somewhere here, and it's very, very important that you stick with me. Right. Now, the Bible says in Genesis 2:15, we just read it, then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. You see, God's original intention is dominion, rule, and authority, but he's got a problem. Adam's a man, but on the inside, he's a boy. He has to find a means of turning this boy into a man that can hold dominion, rule, and authority. Do you understand? Now, what do you think he used? This is a man's world. Oh, dude, I wish I could sing. Oh, glory to God. You're getting this. Now, listen to me again. What? The place of what? Realization is the place of what? Transformation. If you catch this revelation, you'll never say another bad word to your wife again. Don't worry, men. It's going to be our turn in a few minutes. So let them do their spaghetti bolognese. Hallelujah. You see, God put the man in the garden to cultivate it and keep it, to give him something to do until he became what God had called him. Because there's a place of becoming. Do you remember that?
Yes.
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Peter. There's a place of becoming. Until that time, he was Simon. It was Jesus who called him Peter. We have to reach that place of realization in certain areas of our life. We have to get there. And one of these is understanding the place and the purpose of our wives. It's our wives. You see, I was ready to take on the nations back in 1994, but God saw that I needed something in my life to help me contain what God would give me. Right? When I married my wife, I was an angry man. Lord Jesus. Anything, you know, they say that anger is like a block goal. Anyone suffered from anger before and you've been delivered from it? Yeah. But you see, anger comes about as a result of, they say, blocked goals. That's what psychiatrists will tell you. So when everything's going fine, you're not angry at all. But at the moment you reach a blockage, it's bang. And you get angry. It's like, so we're coming back from our honeymoon. We land back at Gatwick Airport. And the battery is gone on my car. Now, because we're in the long-term car park, right? And me. Every few yards, there's a sign saying, battery flat, ? Just toot your horn and a guy will come. I didn't see that. I got so angry, I smashed the windscreen of my car with my fist. Tottenham boy. You know the score. Oh, I can't stand this anymore. Bam, like that. And the windscreen just smashed right there. And then a few days later, it shattered entirely. I had to get it changed. So angry was I. You're looking at me as though I should have been perfect or something, like I was kind of, you know, the original Adam. I don't know. So angry. Now, thank God, I have a testimony. I haven't punched anything in anger since about 2004. That's 10 years ago. Please, can you clap for me and encourage me? You see why? You see, the Bible says this. He says, greater is he who keeps his spirit than him who takes a city. So the key to taking a city is to keep your spirit. How are you going to keep your spirit? How can God work on you those things he needs to work on you? He puts you into a covenant called marriage, and he gives you this thing called a wife. She literally loved me into my destiny. She learned how to handle an angry man and just shave gently. She learned how to buffer. You know, the Bible talks about a woman, the particular type of woman's spirit who can handle such things as a man and literally and make a man out of him. I love that process. I love it. It's so precious. That's why God values the covenant of marriage so strongly. He values this thing. Because when he sees us, you see, this is another thing God showed me through the generations. When he sees man, he sees Adam. Every nation, every tribe and tongue was in Adam. Inside, just like there was woman inside Adam until he took it out. Do you see what I mean? Inside Adam was all these nations, all these tribes and all these tongues. So when he sees you, he's not just looking at you. You remind him of a few people. You remind him of Jesus, his son. You remind him of Abraham. And you remind him of Adam. Because that love, you see, this is what took God to send his son to the cross to redeem Adamkind. That's what, when we think mankind, you see, he thinks Adamkind. He made all these other things, but there was one Adamkind. Do you see what I mean? So now, how much does God value it? Because it was marriage. You'll marry soon in Jesus' mighty name. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'll bless you at your wedding day with a broom. Praise God. Now, you see, this cultivating instrument was to keep him busy. That wasn't his ministry. So anyone who tells me that God gave the man a ministry before he gave him a wife, I say lie. Because the ministry is dominion, rule, and authority. This thing is just occupation. Keep sweep the yard. Your children ever getting in under your thing? Oh, mommy, what can I do to help? What can I do to help? What can I do to help? There's this big planet to win for Jesus. What can I do to help? Go sweep the yard. And that's what God was doing through this whole process. Can you put your hands together for these great champions? Thank you. Dominion, rule, and authority. Glory to God. Glory to God. I hope you get this. I hope you get this. We must never undervalue what God has given us. There's certain ways that our wives can speak to us that can keep us from harm. They can keep us from calamity. They can keep us from all sorts of mistakes. And men, you see, men are meant to carry the family. We are meant to lead the family, right? That's the natural role that God has given us. We can't shirk that responsibility. But God has given it. It's the way he said, somebody said it once, that God has created the man as the head and then the woman is the neck. Have you ever seen a headless neck? Except on a jihadi video or a necklace head? Do you see what I mean? So important are the things to work together. I pray a spirit of harmony in your home. I pray a spirit of harmony with your wife, that men, you learn this thing. You learn this thing. Thank God for the influence of a wife on a husband. There's some of you, the business desires, the business goals you have, you're running around doing here, there, and everywhere, and what you're neglecting is the wife that God has given you. And I hear the Lord say, it's time to rise and to, what does the Bible say in 2 Peter? It says, let him dwell with them. Let me find that scripture. We'll close right there. 2 Peter. This one is wonderful. Oh, Jesus. I hope you're getting something this morning. May you never, ever neglect the wife of your youth in Jesus' mighty name. Here we go, verse 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Oh, actually, let's start with number 6. Are you listening to this, my love? Thus Sarah obeyed. No, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 6. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. As if she would. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right. I'm sweating now. I'm really sweating. If you do what is right. If you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. How many of you wives, your husband can really make you afraid? But becoming afraid and being afraid isn't the answer. It wasn't the answer for me. My wife conquered that fear. When I would go into a temper, my wife would She learned, she used to be very afraid, first of all, but she learned how not to fear in those situations. And it was her calm spirit that then caused me to become calm. It's a real key to successful marriage, real key. Praise God. I hope you let me in tonight, my love, when I come home. Verse 7, look at this. You husbands, and he gives 5 instructions. You husbands, likewise, what's number one? Live with your wives. Live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel. It didn't say she is a weaker vessel. It said as with a weaker vessel. Many times our wives are much stronger than us. Enjoy it, ladies. Enjoy it. Trust me. Enjoy it. As with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman. And number 4, grant her. So number 1 is you husbands, live with your wives. Number 2, it's an understanding way. Number 3, it's as with a weaker vessel. And number 4, it says, grant her honor. You know, when I started to honor my wife, she started to blossom in ministry. Some of you have seen the journey that she's come through, particularly in the last 10 years. And she is 10 times the woman I married as a result. Praise God Almighty. See, me and the Lord were partners. Hallelujah. Grant her honor as a fellow heir of the uncommon favor of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. There's only so far, men, you can go. And then God starts to hinder your prayers. Not the devourer, so you can't tithe and give your way through it. Not the devil, so you can't exercise authority over it. Amen. I'm expecting, anticipating a move. This is a key to a serious move of God. I had a word for a very mighty man of God. And we were at one of his conferences a while back. And I said to him, you know, I said, God has given you this city, no problem at all. I said, but the key to your nation is your family. And I felt the presence of God say amen when I mentioned that, when I spoke that word. We must not underestimate the value of what God has given us. Husbands with our wives. Wives with our husbands, in Jesus' mighty name. Can you stand to your feet? I want to thank God for his word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I didn't even know which way around I was going to preach this thing until about 5 minutes before I stood to preach. I was writing frantically in the offering because I knew what God wanted to say, but I didn't know how he was going to say it. But I'm so glad. Aren't you glad? Did you hear from God this morning? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, wonderful Jesus. Father, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord God, we lift up every relationship in the house. Firstly, Lord, we lift up those who aren't in one. That, Lord God, you give the husband the wife so the work of Jesus Christ, so that the let us make man in our own image can come to pass, so that dominion and rule and authority can be his. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray for those that you'll put, your word says that you put the lonely in families. Any lonely heart here, in the mighty name of Jesus, Father, I claim miraculous provision. Lord, even in the next 60 days, Jesus' mighty name, claim a wholesale miracle in that area in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, as we understand the purpose of this covenant that you have given us. Lord, I thank you that being married and staying married is one of the most difficult things in the world, but the rewards are so awesome. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise, God. Do it, Father. For those of us that are in relationships, Lord, I pray that you'll show the wives how to be the Sarahs to their husbands. But it's never through a nagging mouth. It's never through a harsh tongue. It's never through lacerations or fear or any of those things. It's never through self-pity or any other thing. Your word talks about, Lord God, a meek and a humble heart, not frightened by any fear. Lord God, that we as men, as we dwell with our wives, as we show them honor, as we live with them in an understanding way, as a joint heir of the uncommon favor of life, Lord, I thank you that dominion, rule, and authority come into play more in our lives. We give you the praise, God, for this great mystery, Lord, called marriage. We thank you for it, Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.